Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Welcome to the Featured Anime Podcast. I'm your host, Jack.
And I'm Rick.
And today we are talking about The Ancient Maxis Bride, which was a recommendation given to us by Angel, who emailed this as part of their list from Facebook. So thank you, Angel.
Agreed. I enjoyed it. I liked it the first time I saw it. So when I very first watched what I assumed was The Ancient Maxis Bride was actually the 3-episode prequel, I want to call it.
I guess. I didn't watch it for this series. I just watched, for this recording, I just watched the actual series, the 24 episodes.
Well, it's a standalone. It's kind of, the prequel itself is a standalone, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. I might start mixing up the prequel and the actual series, but I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I wouldn't be. I'd be a little confused. But before we actually get into it, this is 24 episodes long. It came out in October 2017, and it ran all the way through March 2018. Producers for it were Production IG, Flying Dog, Mag Garden, and the studio was Wit Studio. Source of it is a manga, and genres for it are slice of life, magic fantasy, and shonen, which we all know Rick loves slice of life.
Well, this one was not bad. I thought I wouldn't like it because it's the slice of life genre, but honestly,
dude, all you ever do is talk trash about slice of life and how much you hate slice of life, but yet all the shows you've seen before and loved or had a great memory of or feel down in your bones of joy over are slices of life.
Yeah. And you know, a slice of life is such a broad genre. Like, for instance, I could see how this would be a slice of life because I too see monsters everywhere I turn, and I too have a giant magus like beast looking thing that I love dearly just making me food and treating me like a princess.
Well,
so yeah, I can totally relate.
I'm sure you could, but I also know you love Mob Psycho 100.
It's also a slice of life.
Yes, it is.
You lie.
I'm serious. Mob Psycho 2. Slice of life.
Oh, God.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, no.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
The reason I liked Mob Psycho and Mob Psycho 2, if I can be completely like sidetracked and honest with it, the main reason I liked that is there was no suspense.
Yeah.
I should rephrase. There was plenty of suspense, but every conflict was resolved in the same episode. It wasn't a next time on Dragon Ball Z, part 95 of the same fight you've been watching the last 3.5 hours.
Hey, you have to understand something when you're watching things like that, all right? You have to encompass it and yell at the top of your lungs for long periods of time. It takes a special kind of individual to be able to do that for hours on end.
Special strength.
Very special.
Or 15 minutes of your shows. And then just an echo of you yelling as well.
Yeah.
If you throw that echo on top of it, that's when the money transformations happen.
So as much trash talk we do on that, I mean, it is a great fighting anime. It is a great one for you to watch. Should you ever feel so inclined to do so.
But, which one? Dragon Ball?
Yes.
Oh, hard. If you never watch anything else, Dragon Ball and Dragon Ball Z, Dragon Ball Super even, it does get a bit repetitive. However, I would recommend this day and night. It's on par, if not better, in my personal opinion, to Bleach, Naruto, and One Piece.
All right. I'm good with that. I'm game with that.
Yeah.
I'm all right with that.
But we don't talk about GT.
You had to bring up GT. Yeah, to bring up BGT. All right. Well, while we forget about that one and move on with our lives, sure. Ancient Magus's Bride is, I felt, a great story, albeit a little weird. And for all the controversial stuff that is in it, that is actually in it, it almost got like no flack that I remember at all for it. And when I say controversial stuff, I mean a 15-year-old being choked out by her mom, whose mom then commits suicide and then decides to sell herself as a slave, who then gets bought legally and transported to another country.
I've seen it in James Bond. That's 100%.
Oh, that's
a slice of life.
That's totally real right there. Yeah. Why not? I mean, like, oh, also, you have this like multi-hundred-year-old, like almost 1,000-year-old, I would assume, dude who's also making his slave his wife. So,
you know, if you're lonely, it happens. Again, slice of life.
Look, I tried buying you before, sir, and it didn't work out too well for me. I had to get a refund in case you forgot.
Well, if I remember correctly, you didn't even pay that much, so you got what you paid for.
Fair enough. It's the worst 50 cents I ever spent in my life. I actually paid him to take you back. I paid him $1. I paid double the amount.
Just make it stop, please.
Please make it go away.
Oh, dear Lord. So I have a question for you.
Yes.
And I've actually discussed this with a few other people back when it first came out. And it's funny you mentioned the story.
Yes.
In your opinion,
yes,
what is the total overarching story that we saw in the 24 episodes? What is the thing that holds it all together other than the fact that they just care the main characters there?
The thing that holds it all together, the fact that they actually tie in mythology and folklore into each other and connect it all. That's what I would say that really kind of ties it all, because that actually does a really great thing. And it's not, when I say mythology and folklore, I also mean stories. So take, for example, the fairy queen, Tatiana, and her husband, Oberon. They actually, in folklore, in traditional folklore, Tatiana doesn't have a name. The fairy queen does not have a name. And I'm glad that they also brought that up. She brought that up. The only people that actually call me by that name are you, Aizen, and my husband, Oberon. Because she wasn't given a name until Shakespeare. Hmm. Yeah, Shakespeare.
You know more about it than I do.
Yeah, Shakespeare wrote A Midsummer's Night Dream, in which he had written the Fairy King Oberon and the Fairy Queen Tatiana together. So that's when they were actually given a name. But traditional folklore for it doesn't actually have that.
See, what I originally thought, I'm glad you brought up Midsummer's Night Dream, because I thought this was basically an adaptation of that. I assumed, because with everything that goes on, if you follow Midsummer's Night Dream loosely, and by loosely, I mean, like, if you just look at the overview, it's almost the same. You have a slightly different backstory for our main protagonist, but she's drifted off to this fantasy land after a horrific event. And she gets to meet the fairy king and queen. She is desired by many for traits that she has no control over. And at the very end, it's a decent thing where she ends up waking up. Now, at the end, well, I mean, there's a few other stories that go into it.
To say the least, yeah.
But, I mean, she wakes up to a better life than she went to sleep to, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, yeah.
Just like in Midsummer's Night Dream.
Again, yeah, I actually agree with you 100% on that. And one of the things that they actually really do for it, or I can see how they really kind of tie it in between the two, and how the stories are married, and how they got inspiration from Shakespeare, but also they got the inspiration from everyone else. So like take Joseph as well.
That was a tragic one.
His name, what is it?
It was Yeah, I was going to say it wasn't
Cardophilus. Cardophilus. Well, when you finally learn that there are actually two, Joseph is actually, Cardophilus is actually based off the Wandering Jew legend.
Really?
Yes.
You did a lot more research than I did, or you just knew more stuff than I did about this kind of.
No, when I first watched it, I actually went through and I read all about it because they were referencing and pulling different things from a whole bunch of different stuff. And it was just like really fascinating to me. The amount of different stories that they were pulling everything from and the lore behind it all. And I just thought it was really, really good. It was really, really great. And the story for Cardophilus is, and they say it in the show, in the show, when you're learning about Cardophilus's or Joseph's background story, is that it was just some guy that talked smack to Jesus when he was going to pick up his cross. And then he was cursed with immortality. But the immortality that he gets isn't the immortality you're normally wanting. He doesn't stop decaying. He forever decays and age and gets ill-fated or has illness and he's able to hardly move and everything like that. And he's alive. He can't die, but he doesn't stop
rotting. But he never stopped. Yeah, I was going to say, he keeps suffering.
Yeah, he's in constant pain forever until the second coming, which is where that supposedly is the curses. He will live until the second coming.
And then death at that point will just be a sweet release.
Exactly.
At the end, all he was really looking for was a place that he can lay his head without pain.
Yeah.
Crazy. They never defeated him. They just placated him.
Yeah. Basically gave him exactly what he wanted.
So does that mean devil's advocate here? Does that mean that the Jesus in the story was actually God's son, or was he just a really powerful mage?
Say that again.
The Jesus that cursed him, was he actually God's son in the anime, or was he just simply a very powerful mage?
I don't know. They refer to him even in the anime as God's son.
The reason I ask that is because a mage was able to, or a magus was able to relieve the burden of the curse.
Yeah, but the curse is still there.
Yeah, the curse is there, but I guess they were able to lighten the load so it wasn't so much cursed-like.
Right. But that doesn't relieve or abolish the curse or anything like that. So, I mean, like, honestly, we could try and go off on that tangent to try and figure it out, but I feel like we're both going to end up at a dead end where we're both just trying to figure out and fabricate and bring into existence things that just aren't going to happen. Well, no, totally. This will happen.
Work with me here.
No, I refuse.
So one of the things I personally enjoyed about this anime that I don't usually see very often in your memory, because you watched it this week, and I of course watched it this week, but I kind of glazed over it. How many throwaway characters did you count?
Throwaway characters? Well, wouldn't really call
characters
them
that were one and done. Basically zero.
No, not quite. I mean,
there's only two that I can think of that are not throwaway, meaning, or that are throwaway. And what I mean by that is any of the named characters that you come across are brought back more than once in different contexts.
Not quite.
Okay.
Ethan, he's a named character. You're welcome for that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so again, one or two, like I said.
The Winter Goddess.
No, she came. Okay.
Her daughter came back, but she was pregnant. The Winter Goddess was pregnant, gave birth. The daughter came back, So that's three.
No, the daughter came back.
Yeah, technically. I mean, like, came back as more than just a embryo. Yes.
I'm just saying.
If you want to get super technical to try and save whatever you can.
Okay, so you're not going to tear apart my whole thing, because most anime you'll see, especially when they're 24 episodes, do have one episode characters where they never show up again. They never... Their contribution outside of the episode you see them in is minimal or non-existent. Whereas here, characters from episode one come back, or characters from episode five make a return. So they're not forgotten.
True, but the same could be said about a lot of them. Simply because a lot of shows that have named characters, they focus on them for a short amount of time and then they move on past them. And this really kind of holds to that as well. So,
well, the main reason I was saying that, do you remember that, like, they're dragons, right? Yeah, dragons. Mm-hmm. The three dragons that are shown up there, I figured once they got left that whole story, we'd never see them again. They wouldn't be a plot feature. And it turns out that not only were they brought back, they were brought back and with a solid memory and experience.
Yeah, but that's all to be expected because she had to go back there. It was written for her to be able to go back there. So it's only natural that they would still tie them in there. That's just natural.
Given the fact that people were hunting the dragons, I did not expect them to come back.
Well, I expected them to come back.
All right, fine. That makes one of us.
I mean, like the fact that they were hunting, people were hunting dragons. I almost expected us to even, and we did see people hunting the dragons. Mm-hmm. I expected to see that and them to come back because of that. And lo and behold, I was right. That happened.
Well, because they were being hunted, I did not expect them to show back up. I expected one to show up, like their favorite one. I didn't expect all three to survive, no problem.
Well, I mean, I guess. Well, no, they didn't all survive, no problem. They all have problems afterwards. I mean, they did have issues. So.
Now who's grasping at straws, huh?
No, I'm serious. I mean, they literally, one of them came back horribly scarred after having a lot of surgery done on them. The other one was completely transformed because of the horrors and atrocities committed.
Yeah, that's just sad.
It was really sad.
They reminded me of puppies, you know?
Mm-hmm.
God.
So.
Going to the same auction, basically.
Yeah.
Oh, well. So. Let's move away from the sadness because you kind of just depressed me, sir.
You did it to yourself. But if you want to know, I was scrolling through the list of characters, a number of like one-off characters.
Oh, God.
It's like eight. There's eight.
Out of 24 episodes, there's eight one-off characters. Okay.
I am happy with that number. Mm-hmm. I am. I don't know about you.
I was going to say, my girl thinks the number eight is perfect. So I'll go with that.
Okay. Sure. Why not? So one of the things, did you ever see this in both subs and dubs or just one or the other?
I only ever watched it in the subs. I never watched it in the dubs. I didn't want to taint my experience.
Gotcha. I watched it both ways. I've seen it before in subs and I've watched it this time in dubs. And you know Silky?
Okay. Yes.
Okay. You know how they majority of the time in the anime and the subs, they call her Silky?
Yeah.
They almost never call her that at all at any point in time in the dubs.
You lie. What do they call her?
Silver, because that's her true name is Silver.
Oh, opportunity lost.
Yep. So, I mean, like they call her Silver a couple of times in the dubs or in the subs, but the majority of the time they just call her Silky in the subs and in the dubs they just never call her Silky. They always call her Silver, except for one time when someone calls her Silky, and that is it. It's just kind of like, well, that kind of is confusing. Like if you didn't watch it originally, it just would really confuse you. Like, why did he just call her Silky rather than Silver?
Okay.
So that's one of the things. It's like the between the subs and the dubs, there's a lot of differences in it, more than what I actually liked. It was still a great story, still really good. It was still really easy to follow. It was still beautifully told. I just feel like they changed a little too much, or you lost a lot when you went to the dubs.
Okay. Well, I got a question for you. Did the voices match?
Yeah. I mean, like they didn't sound exactly alike, obviously.
No, I obviously
but the
not,
voices but what I mean matched. Is like the personality, the view. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Unless you were Silver, in which case it's kind of hard to have a voice match that.
Yeah. Right. No, I figured that as a rule of thumb, they'll never sound identical to their original counterpart. But mm-hmm. if as in Vegeta, and going back to Dragon Ball because it's awesome. Dragon Ball Z, technically. Vegeta sounds much better in the English dub, in my opinion, mainly because he sounds just more ruthless. Whereas in the Japanese subtitled one, the original voice actor, while doing an amazing job, I don't want to take away from that, it just didn't give me that feeling, you know?
Yeah, no, I know exactly what you're talking about. And I would honestly say I would agree with you, because the same thing could be said about Goku for the Dragon Ball Z series. I prefer his voice a lot more for the dubs versus the subs, although the subs, the language that's used is better.
Oh yeah, 100%.
Yeah, that's neither here nor there.
So let's go back to our main story. What did you think about the ancient Magus?
I thought it was good. Great.
Him.
Oh, Elias?
Yeah.
I think it's really great. And when they saw Rahab, how she describes him, she's like, it's almost as if you were a mage that dabbled with dark magic, but then didn't. And then immediately rectified what she had said to help clarify that he was not a mage that had done that, because of his entire body, his being. You remember that ancient forest spirit, the one that's like, begins with the W. Wendigo?
Yeah, okay.
Winnebago?
Winnebago, yeah.
Winnebago? Yeah, that. So, like, how he talks, how he remembers things happening, because he says, I remember I actually used to eat a lot of people and everything like that. And he talks about how violent he was, and that creature, the forest, basically the darkness of the forest spirit, that whole lore is for the Winnebago, because that's how I always remember it, is basically it talks about the violence and cannibalism of the people, and that's how he came into being.
Now, while I agree with that, what did you think of his transformations?
I thought they were great, and it truly signified what kind of it was too for him. So he was given the name Elias Ainsworth by Rahab.
Mm-hmm.
And he's also been called other things too. Shadows of Thorn Shadow, everything like that. And his transformations really reflect the destruction or the twisted reality of life.
Now, did you catch, they did it minorly, but did you catch how, depending on his mood, and as it progressively got worse, his figure changed subtly?
Oh, yeah. No, but they also did that all the way throughout. And it's not even just subtly. They would also have his figure change massively.
Mm.
Like, it wouldn't be just like a small shift, a small change. It would be a massive change, massive shift, depending on how he was feeling, the emotions and everything like that. And I thought it was really... Now, I would like to know what you felt, or how you thought it was portrayed for him trying to truly understand human emotions.
In the beginning, it felt more of a curiosity than a desire. And at the end, it started off as a curiosity, and then it almost became an obsession, a desire. And by the end of it, it was more of an understanding that he'll never truly understand what's going on, but he's making progress. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, that makes sense. That makes perfect.
That's kind of what I got out of it.
Yeah. But
because his etiquette is like, visually, he understands what humanity does, but he's not aware of a higher class humanity, but he doesn't understand what humanity is.
That is true. He does not.
I mean, heck, he's got a library that was a mess.
Well, I mean,
she kind of cleans it up a little bit, a lot of it.
his library wasn't that big of a mess. A lot of it was pretty cleaned, but thanks to Silver. more so than anything else. And the fact that she was able to keep it clean.
Mm.
Everything, because she's a Banshee, because why not?
And the way they did Banshees here was way different than I guess, mythically. Mythically, yes, there you go. I was going to say, not even you got it. But mythically speaking, Banshees aren't housemaids, you know?
Yeah.
They usually are there, and they're meant to kill and kidnap, typically.
Typically, yeah, at least to the ones that I know. I never looked into the other, and this is why I say it's really, really cool, is they don't just pull Banshees from one particular folklore or mythology from any particular folklore. They pull it from a vast variety of different folklores. So I never looked to see if there was a folklore specific to that Banshee and how she was, or maybe if she was just something in particular or unusual case, which is possible.
Gotcha. What struck me is that the Magus is kind of a recluse, like a hard recluse.
Kind of isn't a strong enough word, I would say.
Well, I say kind of because he got out and he got his bride, you know? But my curiosity would extend to how did he know where to pick her up at?
Because he's been obviously looking for a sleigh baggy, which is what she was, for a very long time, and he would not miss that opportunity. So obviously he has ears kind of all over the place, I would assume.
I figured he'd just talk to the plants because he's got such a connection to them, you know?
I would say probably not just the plants, but probably other spirits as well, or other fairy or fae.
Okay. Now, how many, it kind of struck me as a bit odd, how many fae do you think owe him favors?
That is a great question. I don't know.
Because everywhere you turn, they're like, to repay the favor I owe you, blah, 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 blah.
Well, I mean, it's not just necessarily that a favor that he's, that they're trying to repay. I think they're also trying to repay him for a wrong that they did. So, like, if you remember at the very beginning, the fairies were trying to take Chise, the sleigh baggy, from him, and he caught them basically trying to do that, and obviously Chise was able to resist them, so that way she wasn't going with them, and so they were trying to repay him for that misdeed that they were trying to do, along with several other things, so like them basically probably causing some problems or mischief or other things that they had done that was just causing problems for him. Would be my interpretation of it anyways. It's one way.
That's really all. Really all we can go on is your own interpretation. Your own interpretation of what you saw, you know?
No. It's not an interpretation. It's fact of life.
It's fact, yeah.
It's genuine. Hashtag
facts.
Hashtag I'm right. Maybe 10% of the time.
Facts don't care about my feelings.
So.
Yeah. I wonder how strong they actually are, you know?
I would assume.
Can anybody go down that road, do you think?
To become
a Magus?
No. And the reason why I say no, it's because it's how it's described and how they talk about it. It makes it sound like you're born into it, like you're born that way, rather than you are being like alchemists. I would assume alchemists aren't like that, like anyone could become an alchemist.
Got you.
At least that's my interpretation of it, right or wrong.
Well, how many Maguses did you see over there?
Not a lot. I only saw a couple. And the reason why I say they're born into it, because they make that reference a couple times. Mm-hmm. Additionally, when they're born, it's almost as if they're not human technically, because they have such long lives.
Yeah. I was hoping that the more you learned, the longer your life would go. Because I had just assumed that we were entering the twilight of his life, you know? But it come to find out by the mid to end of the season, you're like, no, actually, he's got a lot longer to live.
Yeah, no one knows how long they're going to live for. Not even, oh gosh darn it, what's his name? Lindell?
Ash and I?
Lindell. Yeah, Ash and I is a fairy, so who knows how long he's going to live? He's been alive for over 1,000 years.
Mm. But yeah, I was gonna say, most of the characters we're talking about keep mentioning how they saw our Magus grow up.
Yeah, basically. Or not grow up, but basically from the time he was found.
Yeah.
It was a great story. It was a good show. I thoroughly enjoyed it.
It had a few shocking moments. For instance, when Odude starts killing all the cats.
Oh, yeah. Because of Joseph? Or
yeah.
Cartophilius, as one might say his name would be. Yeah, no, that was... I mean, and that's the other interesting thing, right? Is there are just like some people that are pushed to a particular brink and they just snap.
Fear does an amazing thing for rationale.
You know, which again really kind of reflects on a psychic detective Yakumo on how his dad really kind of played everyone's fears or weaknesses to force them to do things that they normally wouldn't do.
I could see how that comparison adds up. I don't know, man. Like, it's just that set, like the way the scenarios were set up, you got to find people at their darkest time. So I'd say it's almost a talent to find someone who's just that desperate for an answer.
Well, when you've been alive for over 2,000 years, I mean, like, you get pretty good. You got a
knack for it.
You get a knack for it.
Man. Now, if anybody who has not seen this, I highly recommend it. It's
oh, yes.
It's got so many different stories in it that, and they're all, I would say, self-contained. You know what I mean?
Like, yes.
They don't bleed over into each other, so you don't have to cross-contaminate.
Well, it's not that they necessarily bleed into each other. It's just, it's you may get like part A of a story, and then a couple episodes later, you get part B.
Yeah.
So it is something like, dear God, you do have to kind of like watch in order for you to really truly understand. But it is a great, great story in and of itself. And every story that they tell, they do tell it to completion. So if you feel like, hey, what the hell is going on here? What's the story with this? And then you're just left kind of hanging. They do come back and revisit it a couple episodes later.
Yeah. Now, it is kind of annoying when they do that. But given the fact that the animation quality is just so much better, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah.
Than most other animes, that it doesn't really, I don't know, it doesn't give you that bad taste in your mouth, you know?
Oh, yeah, no, most definitely. This is definitely, definitely animation-wise great. And the music that they have for the both opening and the ending, and then the scores that they had there in the center, in the middle, during key points and parts, I thought it was great. It was very tastefully done. It was done very well. And it didn't make you, also, I would have to say, every episode didn't make you feel anxious for the next one.
Yes. Yeah. That's both good and bad, if you think about it, because it doesn't leave you wanting more, as most anime do. But I mean, you know, by the fifth episode, if you like it, you're gonna watch it anyway. Or if you don't like it, you just won't do it, you know?
Yeah,
and exactly. I like the fact that the anime doesn't give you that pressure.
Yeah,
that
Would
you know, like, there are some other ones where they're like, you know, what's going to happen next? And you're like, I don't know. I really want to know. Or worse off, you're like, I don't know. And you've drawn it on so long, I don't care.
All right.
So, but, you know, if you liked it, I recommend the prequel. It's only 3 episodes. And it came out like a month and a half apart from one another, but it is so good. And it fills in so many loopholes, not loopholes, so many plot holes in the story of how things began.
Yeah.
And it's kind of cool.
You know, it kind of basically this, any plot holes that may have been there or that are there, it's they're either small, minute, or just you know, negligible to where it's still a really great and enjoyable story no matter what.
Oh, 100%. 100% agree with that.
So,
all right. So, on a scale of up to 10, sir, how would you rate this?
Yeah, I'm teetering. Quick, even or odd?
Even?
Even. Okay, 8.
Okay.
And the reason I give it an 8 is I would have given it a 9 if you'd have said odd. I enjoyed it that much. It's something I highly recommend to anyone to watch. I would watch it again with friends and family. It's PG-13 most of the time, but even the harder stuff to watch isn't gruesome. It alludes to a certain things where you're like, oh, that's not good for kids to learn, but that happens so few and far between, it's not even a concern, you know?
Yeah.
And I feel it has bookends.
It does.
It's a solid start, a solid end. If they did a season 2, I'd watch it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So, what about you?
No, I'm actually giving it an 8 as well. I thought it was great. Story was great. The music was great. Really fit it. The animation and the quality of it was just, it was there. I liked that every time Elias had
Ainz Algon.
Yeah. Every time Elias had a new emotion where he wasn't sure what was happening or what was going on, he brought it up and it really helped kind of try and explain and talk about the range of human emotions. And it helped.
We never even
really explored that. Jealousy, anger, hate, what we perceive as beautiful or tranquil, just like the range of emotions and thoughts for him that was foreign. I love that they explored that for Elias.
Yeah, we never actually covered all of that. maybe in the extra content we might.
Maybe.
But yeah, it was like you were looking at human emotion from a baby's point of view.
Exactly. And they actually referenced it like that too, a couple of different times, and how they referenced both Elias and Chise is they sometimes referenced them as parent and child, and they would swap the roles on what was going on. Like he would be the parent or she would be the parent, depending on the circumstances and situation as to what was going on.
Yeah. Cause she was all about not really having her own sense of self, and Elias was the one to teach her.
Well, not only that, they also had to learn how to communicate with each other, much like a married couple. I mean, like you could be together for years and have difficulty communicating.
True.
No matter what. Or even not, even if you're not married, if you're with your partner or friends or anyone else, communication is a very big key, and it is actually very hard to do, like no matter what.
Well, I mean, if you're having that kind of problem, you can always start a podcast.
That's true. You could. So that's why I'm going with an 8. I mean, like, okay. It's a great story. It's really beautifully done. Well worth it. I highly recommend it.
Very happy that we got their recommendation.
Oh, yeah. It was a great revisit for me. I loved it. So thank you, Angel, for that. So, we had talked a little bit beforehand and talked about what we wanted to do for next week. And so next week we're actually going to do the Rising of the Shield Hero, because we both love it. We both talked about it way back in the day, a couple of years ago when it was first coming out. We both talked about how much we loved it, watched it, everything like that. It was great for both of us. So we decided that that's actually what we're going to do. We're going to go for that one next. So the Rising of the Shield Hero.
It's a little bit more recent than some of the stuff we've done. Mm-hmm. And I think podcast wise, it's a good move because it's not obscure yet. And we might be having another season come out.
No, there is no might. We are having another season come out. Like it's already like the next two seasons are already planned. So we know we're getting a season 3 at the very least too.
Dude, that's awesome.
Yeah,
I'm so happy to hear that.
The Rising of the Shield Hero season 2, I think it airs. I mean, like you also have the trailers that are already out for it too, for season 2, in case you didn't know.
I thought season two was already out. We're waiting on season three.
No, season two is barely airing. I think it's like barely supposed to air. No.
I could have sworn season two was already out.
No, dude, like seriously, I wish season two was already out. I can't remember like if they specified I think it's supposed to be April or so, or not April, but February for the release date when they're supposed to start season two.
Oh shit. Yeah. Wow. That shocks me.
You're welcome for that. So
I don't like it. I don't like it.
So, yeah, that's what we're going to do. We're going to watch The Rising of the Shield Hero. If you enjoyed this week's choice, if you want to talk to us, hang out with us and everything like that, please feel free to reach out to us. We also have a Patreon page and merch set up. The Patreon will actually get you access to some bonus content. We talk a little bit before and after each episode. We record it. We'll be putting that as part of it. $1 gets you that bonus content. If you want to hang out with us, live chat, give us live reactions to everything we're doing right now. We got a tier for that as well. Feel free to come hang out with us, message us. But yeah. Do you need to pay to talk to us? No, you do not. In fact, we're always hanging out in the Discord. Feel free to talk to us in there too. We're always hanging out in there and be happy to have you join us. You can also email us at featuredanimepodcast@gmail.com. Those anime guys on Twitter, featured anime podcast on Facebook. Reach out to us. Let us know what we got right, what we got wrong, what we missed, what you loved, what you hated, anything else. And if you were a part of the live conversation, you were hanging out with us too, you would have heard that we had a little discussion that went really off topic and started talking about Batman. Yeah. That's only going to be available to those who listen live. So
snooze, you lose this time.
Exactly. Because that was a wonderful 20-minute diverge on the origins of Joker. Loved that.
Yeah.
That was great. Anyways, thank you for all checking us out. Don't forget to leave us a rating, review, like, subscribe, wherever you happen to consume us, and it will greatly help out. Don't forget to share. It really does help us. And until next time, I'm Jack.
And I swear I'm not going to go sell myself to some mage, even if he does have a really awesome library.
And a lot God of money.
Damn, that library was awesome.
He also has a lot of money.
Sorry. I mean, there's money. Yeah, that money too. The library. That's what I want. That's just what I want. Sorry. I'm Rick, and we'll talk to you next time.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.